Hi, family. thank you. It is so good to be back with my family. And I mean that in the literal sense. We talk that, and we're trying to be real with that. But our real family is this family. My real sisters are sitting right here. My real brothers are sitting right here. I spent a long time with my physical family back in Virginia. We were so tied and kind of without option. You know, we were going to spend this 3 weeks was a long, long time to leave you guys. And so we left in February, left on the 13th of February, and we were going to be gone until the 6th of March. And that was a long time. But my mom's been ill, so okay, we're going to just do that. On the 3rd of March or something like that, she goes into the hospital, or 2nd, I think it was. And from then on, the whole time God was steering things anyway. But there were no options after that. And I thank you, thank you, thank you. Your love was clear and loud and specific, 4,000 miles, however far away we were from 4,000 miles out. Your letters, your phone calls, I'd call back here, your reassurances, your forgiveness. You know, Kiana and Bill and others have had to wrap up loose ends that I thought I'd be tying up, you know, for the lectureship and all that sort of stuff. And Bob Bolus, as Robert, has learned a whole new level of patience in dealing with whatever I was supposed to be doing long distance and all. But thank you so much. The events I cannot quite describe. I do not understand yet the breadth and the magnitude of what just happened, because there was a whole lot more going on in God's hand than just my mother or me or my family. There's an entire congregational event that took place down there with the Church of Christ in Hopewell that I don't have time to get into. A congregation of good size that was really hurting inside, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of things came together around my mother and her baptism there. And then I was able to speak there. It was a magnificent, magnificent event. And I told Randy Tyler just a while ago, there was a period of time right in the middle I'm just anguishing because I want to be back here. We got to get back. How are we going to do it? We can't, you know, and I'm anguishing to get back here. And when it became so clear that there was something else entirely different going on in God's hands, I finally said, okay, that's it. I can't make any other choices anyway. It was just a real blessing. It was a real blessing. We've all grown, and I pray to God, I pray before you that I'm a very different man. I need to be a different man than I was when I left. We all have a lot of growing to do. Did you see the paper this morning? Did you see the Valley paper this morning? I mean, you know, I embarrass him. There's Jake and Maya. There's Jake and Maya right there in the front. Brothers in basketball, and it's about Maya winning the state title and the motive and where his heart has been with his brother's recovery and the power of Jake's recovery and the effect on Maya's life and the basketball game. And there's Maya driving for a certain score, right, Maya? I know you scored on that.
He's not here.
Carol and I are in the front row practically because we lost our teens. They're all down in Anchorage, and then the back page it continues. But that's the front. I was just walking into the cars this morning to buy some milk for breakfast. And I walked by this thing. Pretty awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And where I've hurt you or let you down by laying things out so long, just please forgive me or come talk to me. You all are awesome. I do not deserve a family this wonderful to me. My mother is now my sister. She's gone on to be with the Lord. She's gone on to her rest. The last thing she was able to do physically was climb that steep ladder. They had it, their baptistry had this real steep ladder kind of thing that went up one side. Carol helped her up, and I helped her down into the water. My mother gave birth to me, and I like to think I was part of helping her be reborn. I helped her to be born again. That completely overwhelmed everything else, obviously. Her death, her sickness, everything else just was reframed based on that magnificent event. And I can't, the lesson goes in that direction some, but I cannot thank you all enough for what you did for that. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Precious God, Holy Father, would that we would be real before you, open, useful, humble, ready to be put into work, put into service. Help me to use this time right now that your word might be spoken. Help us to be true to ourselves, to each other, and of course to you. Thank you, Father, for your magnificent love and gift. Be with our teens down in Anchorage and help this weekend to be life-changing and thrilling and focused, powerfully effective for them, knowing that their lives in front of them have many, many, many great things that can be done in your hands. Help that your truths are taught, and I stay out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be real. Be real. If there is a every direction I look, there's another face I want to run over and give a hug to. If there's anything we've learned that we can be good at and don't want to be good at, it's playing church. We can play church. We can all sweep in here, and if I get really careful, I can match my shirt and my tie, and I can do that, and we can sing pretty songs and smile and greet each other and have delicious food down the hallway and go home smiling. We can play church and be really, really, really good at it and be as empty as a tomb. And we don't want to be good at that. We don't want to be fake or false or empty or hollow. We want to be real. But being real is scary at times. It's a whole lot easier to pretend. Because being real means you got to be honest about your struggles, you got to be honest about your hurt, you got to be honest about your faith. Sometimes our faith is doing all right, and sometimes our faith just takes hard, hard hits. Our faith is under attack. Our religion, if you want to call it that, Christianity is under attack. The comics, I don't know that we get the comics that I read a couple of weeks ago. This is just today's comics, and I brought it as a visual aid reminder, but a few Sundays ago, I picked up the comics that arrived at my mother's house, and I think it's the comic strip that's called Non Sequitur, if you've seen that anywhere around the country. I don't even know if we get it up here. I don't get the Sunday paper anymore. Had a series in which a father was telling a child a story, and most of the series was just images, wasn't words at all. And it showed a guy out in a boat, and I can't remember the details. I didn't cut it out. I didn't keep it. I'm going to go see if I can go back and look for it and find it. And this giant comes out of the ocean, bald giant, you know, whatever. The boat, the people on the boat are terrified, and in some ruckus, a great deal of water is washed up, and the boat goes crashing over the land, and the water has all kinds of effect on the land, and the end, the next to the last frame in the comic. I got to calm down. It's been a long time since I've done this. Shows the Grand Canyon, and that little boat is sitting on one of the little mesas, you know, those tall, skinny platforms in the middle of the canyon. And the child says to the person telling the story, says, "Well, that's not a very believable way that the Grand Canyon was formed." And the father telling the story says, "Yeah, but it's better than that Noah story." it's better than that Noah story. That's our comics. When Christianity and the stories of God and His working in people's lives are being reduced to the punchline of jokes, the status of faith in God and fellowship of Jesus Christ is in serious jeopardy. Your children, the ridicule that will come from the ideas that your children have, the ridicule that they will run into in school will be clear and specific, and you need to prepare them for that. It will become foolishness to believe in such things that God put Noah and seven other people and the animals on the ark and saved them. We've got to be real. We've got to be honest with our faith. We've got to be specific and brave enough. While we were gone, the tomb of Jesus, the bones of Jesus documentary hit. I don't know if anybody talked about it here, and I'm not going to waste much time on it. I watched it. I recorded it. And it's a lot of smoke. It's a bunch of fluff. Don't waste your time on it. You can study it if you want to. But it's so much slanted material. I don't mean to whisk it away as in insignificant, but I'm not going to spend any time on it. Just count it up as another attack on the truth. Riding back yesterday in the airplane, the man in the row in front of me was reading a book titled "The God Deception." I've heard of the book. I've never read it. And it's the idea of how it is that we come to believe that there is a God and why we're deceived by that. Your faith is being attacked. But God is up to the challenge. It's not the first time He's been attacked. It won't be the last time He's been attacked. It doesn't matter how systematic, how specific, how effective or powerful the attack might be in any person's life, God's will be done. Faith, just go ahead and look at Hebrews 11. If you haven't had it, don't have it underlined, just go underline it. God understands. In fact, God is very deliberate about not being visible in certain things. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God's very deliberate that you cannot see Him. God is very specific that you cannot and have not seen the risen Christ. He knows that. He knows you never saw the ark. You never met Noah. You don't know how many animals were on that ark. He understands that. And He's very deliberate that He calls us to be people of faith. Not empty, black, jump into darkness faith, but real, practical, effective, working faith. Let's look at a story of faith in action. 1 Kings 17. It's kind of a fun story. 1 Kings chapter 17. It's a story any of us could put ourselves into, except we're not starving to death. Other than that, it's a story with a happy ending. Got a sad beginning, but a happy ending. 1 Kings chapter 17. Starting in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. That's Elijah. It's a story about Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. Behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. And bring it out to me. Afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain in the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the little jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through Elijah. So many of these great stories we relegate to our Bible classes downstairs, and children have fun with them in class, and you'll make little bread cakes and imagine the scenario. But the faith that's going on here, the practical reality of a woman who knows God enough to identify him but does not live in Israel and is having enough of a tough time in life to be literally starving to death in this famine. She's dying. She's starving to death. She has only enough flour to keep her and her son alive for a short time. Here comes a visitor who says, I tell you what, why don't you make me one first? Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do, says James. You know, there's a phrase in this story, in these verses, that just stops me in my tracks. It stops me in my tracks because it's part of that mirror. You know, when you look at the word and it reflects back on you and you go, wow, now what am I supposed to do about that? How can I know that kind of thing? God said in verse 9, God said to Elijah, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Does she sound like she's been commanded by God? Thank you very much. You know, would that the rest of you were as clear. Speaking in Hopewell, we had a lot of fun with that congregation. They it's a long story, and I won't get into it. But the Hopewell, it's actually called the Cawson Street Church of Christ in Hopewell. Do not say amen or respond much. And when I sat down, I was responding with amen. And several people came up to me and said, thank you so much for doing that. We would love, you know, for more people in the congregation to do that. So when I spoke, nobody was saying anything. And finally, I had to stop and say, oh, come on, that's got to be an amen. I mean, that's, so we had some fun with that. Does she sound like she's been commanded by God? I'm going to go make a cake for myself. I'm going to make a little piece of bread for myself and my son, and then we're going to die. She doesn't sound very much like she's been prepared. She sounds like a widow given up. Settled in the fact that there's no more food. And there's not going to be any more food. And you know there's nothing in that house worth trading food for, or she would have done it by now. No mother lets their child die while there's something she could do about it. The famine has hit hard and deep and sure. And Elijah shows up. Could I have some water, please? Water we got. Could I have some food, please? I'm really short on food. Enough for one more meal for just two. Tell you what, why don't you make me one first and then make one for your children and you, for your child and you. The widow was commanded by God and didn't know it. Acted out of generosity, kindness, hope, faith that Elijah was right. There's so many people in Scripture, you know, we just really imagine that Elijah was just hovering around, you know, doing miraculous things and really living this level of faith that was just awesome and challenging. And we're told in Scripture he was just like us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 didn't know that they weren't going to be fried and burnt up in that furnace. They didn't know. They didn't have any idea if they were going to make it out of there. But they knew where their God was. Mordecai in Esther chapter 4 had no idea why his niece was dragged up to be queen in that rough empire. But he says to her, perhaps it's for such a time as this, Esther. Maybe this is why you're there. I don't know. But you're there. Let's see if you can do something about the crisis that's coming. What's God commanded you to do? She didn't know. They didn't know. Esther didn't know. Mordecai didn't know. I'll bet you don't know. Ephesians chapter 2. You know this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, now verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. James says, as we just read a few minutes ago, James says that it is an evidence of your faith that you act. You believe in God? Yes. The demons believe do that much. Do you believe God? Oh. Well, that's different. Do you believe him? Do you believe that he's created things for you to do? That's what Ephesians 2 says. He has created good works, prepared them beforehand. There's an Elijah coming to knock on your door. I'd love to have time to tell the story about a young man named Hussein who literally went and knocked on my parents' door. He was sent from Tunisia to their house and they didn't know it. He's now a businessman in Washington, D.C. It might be him calling right now. There might be somebody coming to knock on your door, and they might be saying, excuse me, I know you've only got one of those things, but could I use it for a while? And you'll say, but it's the only one I've got. You don't know the good work that God has given you to do, but it is an evidence and a demonstration of your faith. God said he had commanded that widow to take care of Elijah, but she didn't seem to know it. She did it because of the situation she was put into. And that seems to be the way God works today. God didn't write across the sky. He didn't bring a rabbit hopping to her front door and tell her what she needed to do. He put a hungry man, a thirsty, hungry man out her door. It happened to be one of his most powerful, effective prophets. But she doesn't seem to know that quite either, although she is attending to him kindly. How do you know what God's got in mind for you to do? Faith. Acting on faith. I wish I could weave this through the story that Carol and I have just been through. As we have seen God over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, working beautifully by people responding to an opportunity. The letters that were written by your loving hands, in this case to my mother, softened her heart over the years. The local ladies' Bible class in Hopewell. The ladies' Bible class in Hopewell visited her. They went and sat with her during her chemo. They went and brought her soup when she was too sick to eat anything else. They never preached the gospel to her, not once. They just loved her. They never challenged her on her obedience to God. They were just kind to her. They took the opportunity they had and loved somebody. I'm the one who'd been talking to her over the decades. 30 years, by the way. We left here on the 13th of February. 30 years ago, on the 13th of February, 1977, I was baptized into Christ back in Columbus, Ohio. So for 30 years, I've been talking to my mom about being baptized. And the combination of the kind love of those local ladies and a letter that was mailed from here met right at the time that we were coming home. Carol and I didn't know when we needed to go home. We'd been praying about that. I didn't bring it up to my mother whether she needed to be baptized. I tried that already several times and been roundly and seriously rebuffed. She was not happy about me bringing that up again. She and I talked about it three times before she was baptized. She started the conversation every one of them. She initiated the conversation every time. This was her faith in action, spurred by the love and the kindness of a church there, and the teaching and the example of this church here has changed eternity. It doesn't need to be an Elijah at your door. You have that effect on one person, and you've changed all eternity. Who's discouraged in this room? They're probably not going to put up their hand up right now. It was a hand in the back of the room, but I won't tell you who it was. You have to go find her. But if you're sitting where, in the way some of you are, you've got, you know, somebody, and there's three people in front of you, or at least three chairs in front of you, and three chairs right behind you, and a chair on either side of you. That's eight people in your immediate vicinity that you could touch today. You want a good work? You just stand up and say, hi. I love you. How are you doing? Or, I haven't met you. Or, you know what? We haven't sat down and talked. Can we have a cup of coffee this week together? Can we have lunch? How about your family comes over and visits with us? God working through us by faith. James chapter 5, verse 17 reads, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The widow Zarephath didn't change any weather cycles. She just made a little bread cake for a visitor. She served, and kept the mission and the ministry of another man going. And that man was connected to God and served and taught His Word in many different directions. You don't know who you're going to touch or how you're going to touch them. Don't ever think that your kind actions don't have powerful effect on people's lives. Just being together, just being here, powerfully encourages. You don't know how powerful that is until it's happened to you. The other day I was taking apart a piece of furniture at my mom's house. And it wasn't coming, and it wasn't coming, and it wasn't coming, and it wasn't coming, and it wasn't coming. And I grabbed onto the one part, and I stepped on the other part, and I went, you can see what's happening, right? I did that pulling a nail with a hammer once, and I went, bang! And I took a bed frame. It was a wooden one, not a metal one. But I put a bed frame right into my chin, right about at my lower teeth. That was only a few days ago. And you probably can't see it. It was bleeding at the time. Carol looked at me and said, ow. Earlier I'm going, ow. Good. I plowed a piece of bed frame right into my face. I don't recommend trying that, by the way. But the scar is gone. How'd that happen? You realize every day, I just read this recently, it had nothing to do with bed frames when I was reading it, it had nothing to do with the Bible when I was reading it. Every day, your body replaces 1% of all of its cells. 1% of your body is brand new this morning. So, I know the body changes in different ways across it. So, in 100 days, hey, I'm a new me. Every 100 days, you're brand new. How about that for a percentage? I guess it's something like that, right? So, you're brand new 3 times a year. You're brand new 3 times a year. You're constantly changing and adapting. You cut yourself, you smack yourself, you cut your hair, it grows back. You're constantly changing. I pray, and I told you when I started, that I'm a different man. What I've been through, what Carol and I and our children have been through, has changed my life. And it's not about my mother. That just got my attention. It's about the way God is powerfully and specifically working in your life and in my life. Constantly renewed, constantly changing. You ready to change? You need to be changing. You are changing. I mean, you don't need to be changing. You are changing. But are you changing? Challenge yourself that you're changing by being a person of deeper faith, of more specific, looking for and trusting God. The first thing we talked about is be real. The second thing we talked about is be aware, like the woman at Zarephath, like the widow. Open your eyes. God has a job for you to do. And the third one is be changeable. You soften yourself in His hands. You look for the way He's going to use your life. She didn't imagine that she's going to be feeding prophets. She didn't see herself as a seaside restaurant, okay? She's out there. Zarephath is up between Sidon and Tyre. Anyway, up there on the coast. She didn't see herself as a restaurant. So you be changeable. You be open. And you have faith. Active, softened, developing, growing faith. Because God's got things to do with you. He's going to reach for you like a carpenter reaches for a tool in a tool drawer. And He's going to pull you out. And that's the time to be sharp and ready and usable in His hand. Less than 2 weeks from now, we're going to be hosting the lectureship. And the lectureship is all about faith. It's all about applied faith. So look for ways between now and then to prepare yourself to grow your faith, to develop your faith. And that weekend, really focus on it. Listen, learn, You'll get a lot of good speakers from across the state. We got 2 days with a man coming up from Arkansas, Howard Norton, and then in one of the lessons during the lectureship itself. Because God's got so much for us to do. There's so many great and powerful things to do. It's so good to be home with my family. I missed you guys powerfully. Good to be back together. This morning, if there's any here who need to be baptized into Christ, if you're ready, if your faith is ready to grow as your walk in Christ starts, we'll prepare you and we'll baptize you now. If you have any other needs, if you have any other needs that we can help with, let us know while we stand and sing the song selected.